Of the Oral Fix podcast. I am Drew Brown.
I'm Henry Diaz.
And we're your hosts of Oral Fix. Oral Fix is a weekly social commentary podcast for the gay community. You can find us on Stitcher Radio, and you can find us on iTunes. And we want to thank all of our Stitcher Radio listeners because the numbers have been really impressive. So we want to thank all of you for listening to us on Stitcher and downloading us and all that good stuff. So it's been a while. You know, lots has happened. You know, we've had a hurricane. We've had, there was a earthquake here in the Northeast. A lot has been going on. So, what up, Biatch? How are you, Henry? How are you doing? It's been a while.
I'm good.
Well,
you call me Biatch, and I thought we weren't going to do that again. But I guess we're back to Biatch.
I
guess you're really excited to be with your bitch.
It's a term of endearment. Do you not like being called a bitch?
Well, us country mice up here, we don't call each other bitches. We're not like you city folks who are very savage. Like
It's a term of endearment. So,
thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I guess I'm all right. I'm kind of a little cagey, not because of the weather. Maybe some of it's the weather. I don't know. But I was working on the podcast when Hurricane Irene has struck. And the day before, I worked at the Renaissance Festival. And there were like about 200 people there, all getting soaking wet throughout the day. And so was I, and I think I caught a cold, and I've been very feverish since. It was kind of an exciting weekend for me, but it was fun also to see some of these people there. You know, most of them stayed until like 5:30 in the afternoon until they closed down the grounds, and the rain started pouring down a lot by then. And then the earthquake thing that happened, it was really weird. I don't know. I didn't feel it, and several of my friends didn't feel it either that were in the city. One of them, Nandi, she was in a building that had about, I think, 8 floors to it, and she said that everyone came out running from the building, and everyone, I guess, was being evacuated from it, and her boyfriend felt the earthquake. Everyone else in the building felt the earthquake, but her, she said. Now, I don't know if she spoke to everyone in the building, but yeah, it was kind of weird. You know, the day that it hit, I was actually being picked up by my friend, Dee, and we were on our way to do some shopping. We were going to do some girl shopping, you know? And all of a sudden, you know, we get to our first destination. The woman was like, "Hey, did you feel the earthquake?" You know, as I'm checking out at the register, and I said, "No, what earthquake?" She says, "The one that we had a little while ago." I get home hours later, and I'm reading about it, and it struck at 1:51, which, oddly enough, I was looking at my clock at 1:51, and as Dee pulled into my driveway, and I was walking downstairs to meet her, and she said she didn't feel the earthquake either, so, or the aftershock, so I don't know if it really existed.
Well, it did happen. I mean, a friend of mine, you know, and people were like, you know, I didn't really know what was going on, like, you know, about the earthquake, and then, you know, I was telling everybody, like, you know, this is again, the thing with social media now, like, you know, everybody's putting up their, you know, say, play Facebook status, like, oh my God, the earthquake, and I was like, what? What's going on? And then I did see, and then people were texting me, like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay, like, what's going on? But I didn't feel it either, but then a friend of mine said that he, you know, he felt that he worked in, like, a high-rise building, and he felt his, you know, desk chair, you know, kind of swaying back and forth and, like, you know, seeing, like, and so he was like, oh, you know, shit, like, you know, I'm taking lunch, and he goes, and I think, you know, because, you know, everything, you know, since 9/11, you know, everybody is just kind of, like, you know, overly aware of, you know, anything, a little rumble or something, like people, you know, kind of panic a little bit. So he ended up, like, you know, running out of the building. And of course, you know, that's not the smartest thing to do because you shouldn't, especially for an earthquake, you don't want to be outside. But then he, like, you know, him and a coworker left. But, you know, it was brief. But, you know, I did not feel it, but apparently, I mean, we did have one, and you know, there were a bunch of people who did feel it, but I did not feel it.
I know for a fact that I felt different, though. I mean, I was having some intense dreams right before the earthquake hit. I was taking a nap. My dreams were really intense, and I thought to myself, you know, wow, you know, I've never really dreamt, you know, like, one of the dreams I had was very Tron-like, and mind you, I didn't even watch Tron, so, it was like, what, you know, what's that all about? And when I have dreams like that are, like, really far-fetched, usually something weird happens later on in the day, and that was one of them. Yeah. So, you know, I guess it, my cage has been a little rattled, you know, in this Hurricane Irene thing. You know, watching the hurricane happen here where I live at, while I was doing the podcast was really interesting because I kept on looking. The way I knew how bad it was here is I have a clear view to the lake where I live in front of, and I'm watching everybody's lawns who lived on the lake disappear, like, hour by hour, and by the next day, when everything cleared and everything was said and done, I saw the water, like, maybe a foot away from people's houses. Their lawns completely were gone and lost, and trees had come down into the lake. It was really amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that was the thing that I guess I was, you know, really... You know, I mean, the hurricane was kind of a bust, like, you know, as far as, I mean, yes, I mean, you know, New York, I mean, you know, man, Bloomberg had to kind of, you know, redeem himself after the blizzard that happened, you know, around Christmas, and the city was just not prepared for it. And so he, you know, this time around, they knew about the hurricane, so everybody was like, you know, there was so much stuff on TV about this Hurricane Irene, and there were so many news conferences, and then they shut down the MTA and telling people to stay home, like, all the stuff was going on. And so, you know, there were times when it felt like just like a typical, like, rainy day, like, you know, like, it's cloudy and, like, nothing was happening, and then it would, like, it would rain a little bit, and then it would stop, and then nothing. And I was like, what is going on? Like, where is this bitch? Come on, Irene. Like, you know, do what you gotta do. But I was also really, you know, worried about, like, not having any power or anything like that. But thank God, like, nothing really happened. And then, you know, when I walked out the next day, it was very, you know, there was some, you know, there were some trees that were down, but there was very little damage. Like, it didn't really feel like anything happened. Like, we had a really bad hurricane.
Wow, trees came down in Brooklyn? That's hard to believe.
Oh, no. I mean, last year we had a tornado in Brooklyn. And it wiped out. Yeah, there was a tornado in Brooklyn. And it... a friend of mine, she, you know, it hit here with like really heavy like winds and like all this stuff. It was really kind of scary. And my friend, she lives not too far from me, but she lives, you know, a ways down. And she later after the tornado had hit, it knocked out like all the trees. Like, you know, it was there. Like all the trees, you could not see a tree in sight. So it was really kind of, you know, it was really kind of sad. But they didn't really do that much damage here. But, you know, from watching the news, it definitely did a lot of damage elsewhere. You know, there was, you know, people, a lot of flooding and stuff like that. It was kind of like, it was kind of sad. It was kind of sad to watch, but it was sad to be
home
all day. Like, I was having such cabin fever. After a while, I was like, oh my God, I don't care about this Irene. I just want to get out of the house. Like, I was going to go out. Like, I was so tired of being in a house. And, like, all you're doing is watch. Like, there's nothing on television. There's, like, you're watching TV, and you're just like, oh my God, I just want to shoot myself. I cannot watch the same crap all over again. It's like, all the new channels was about, you know, Irene, and then, like, there was, like, nothing good on cable. It's like, what am I paying for, you know, to have all these channels, and there's nothing on, nothing to watch. And, of course, I was by myself, you know, so it's kind of like, oh, God, I'm alone. All alone, you know. Like, oh, it was kind of sad.
All by myself. I don't want to be.
No, whatever. But anyway.
So how was your week? I mean, we heard how you fared throughout the storm. Anything else?
Yes, well, I was, even before the storm hit, you know, a lot of changes have happened. Well, one, I lost my job. You know, as I talked about before, you know, on the podcast, that I had a, you know, crazy evil boss.
Dragon lady.
And, you know, she double work hard in a situation. And it was like Survivor at my job. I mean, at any moment, you never knew if someone was going to either quit because they hated her or they were going to get fired for whatever reason. Because, you know, she could like you one day and the next day she hates you, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she let me go. And she was surprisingly nice about it. Like, it wasn't because of job performance or anything like that. It was just basically, she was like, oh, you know, I really need someone that speaks French and, you know, because of the clientele and blah, blah, blah. And so I was let go.
Oh, just because you didn't speak French? I mean, they should have just said something to you from the beginning. Like, we need you to speak French. Can you speak French? That's bullshit.
Exactly. It is bullshit. But, you know, no, I mean, the only good thing about it was that, you know, my coworkers who, you know, and I've only been there for a very short period of time, one of my coworkers, you know, she was really emotional, and she was, I was really, like, taken aback by it. It was, like, really kind of, it was really sweet. She was, like, crying, like, you know, that I was leaving, and it was really touching.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that was really nice. And everyone was, like, really genuinely, you know, sad that I was leaving and really sincere about it. And, you know, and it was good. So, you know, at least, you know, I now have, like, new friends and that kind of stuff. And, you know, we'll continue to talk to them afterwards. But, I mean, I did want to quit anyway, but I didn't want to get fired, of course, or let go, you know. So we'll see. I mean, the job hunt now continues, and as we know, this is not the best time to be looking for a job. So,
well, it wasn't.
I didn't want to quit without having a job lined up. You know, I wanted to make sure that when I did quit, you know, I had something, you know, else to do. But now I just have to start looking or dance on a pole, whichever comes first.
I'm sure you look pretty cute dancing on the pole.
Yeah, I might have to shake what my mama gave me. So that kind of like started the week of the hurricane. I was kind of like, okay, what else? And then during the hurricane, Skull Guy returned. And
oh my God! Look what the hurricane blew up. I swear, we must do like some magic here on this podcast, because every time we mention somebody from our past and we haven't talked to them in a while, they kind of resurface after the podcast.
Exactly. So he, you know, checked in on me to make sure I was okay. And then
you were okay.
And then, you know, and then we started, like, you know, texting back and forth, and then we ended up, like, speaking. And then there's this kind of, like, he's this kind of, like, you know, at this point of, like, don't understand why, you know, we're not, why it hasn't worked out. Because, you know, obviously we care about each other, and don't understand why we're not, like, it hasn't worked, you know. So we've been talking since then, and I don't know. I did have to put him in his place, because we, you know, during the weekend we were talking, and then, you know, he said, oh, you know, I will call you on Monday, which he did, but, I didn't get the call, and then I called them back, and I left them a message. We had decided to talk on Monday to figure out what day of the week we were going to meet up to actually have a conversation, a powwow, whatever, and kind of figure out what we're going to do once and for all. And so I returned his call, and then he did not call me back. And hence the problem, you know, and it's like, I'm not one of those people who, you know, I don't really care about, like, I'm not, like, if you have things to do or if you're busy, I get it, I understand it, but then just let me know, and then we can, pick it up a long time. Like, I'm not this, like, crazy, psychotic, like, jealous person that, you know, I have to know where you're at every moment, what you're doing, blah, blah, you know, like, I'm not like that. But it also depends.
Yeah, just common sense stuff.
Exactly. It's just courtesy, you know? And the fact that we also have this, like, you know, history already with him not doing that, I would think that he would try to be on his, you know, best behavior. So when he ended up, so he didn't call me back. And so, you know, I left him a message on Tuesday, just saying, like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, this is the problem. And so he called me back. It must have gotten his attention, because he called me right back, and he was like, what do you mean, blah, blah. Like, I was going to call you back, but it got really late, and, you know, I didn't want to call you, whatever. And I was like, you know, it's fine, but by you not calling me or not saying whatever, especially we have all this history, it puts out, it's sending me the wrong message. It's making me think that you're just like, oh, here we go again, you know? All you have to do is just send me a text or send me something that says, listen, I'm not going to be able to talk to you. It's going to be late or whatever. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And all would have been fine.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been fine. But, you know, he got the point, and he understood where I was coming from. And he's like, oh, you know, would you react this way if, you know, we didn't have, I think it's because of the history. And I was like, well, it's kind of hard for me to think about how we would respond if we didn't have history, because obviously we have history. So I don't know how we respond, you know, if we haven't had this kind of back and forth kind of situation going on for so long. So I don't know. So
why does it matter? Why does it matter? I mean, it's all about common freaking sense, you know?
Exactly.
You call the person back and say, listen, I just can't do whatever I need to do with you today, or I just can't, you know, meet my end of the bargain, you know? Do whatever you need
exactly
to do. And
exactly. And I think, you know, and I think because of the fact that we said Monday, we designated Monday as the day that we were going to decide, and the fact that he didn't follow through, which is kind of like, come on, like, okay, put some effort into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're telling me how much you love me, how much you care about me, and how much, you know, you miss me, and you really want this to work out, and blah, blah, it's like, okay, well, then show me the effort, because to me, like, actions speak louder than words, you know?
So what was the final thing here? Did we close the door on this guy?
He apologized, and he, like, you know, he's like, I hear you, I get it, I would not do that again. And she, and so, no, the door is not closed completely. We're going to meet up on Friday, have a talk, and kind of discuss things, and I'll let you know the next podcast and let you know. It's going to be two things. Either we're going to be together, or we're just going to be friends. Because I can't have this, like, every couple of months, you know, he comes back into my life, and then it's like, oh, I love you, you're great, blah, 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 whatever. Like, I can't keep going back and forth. This kind of, like, yo-yo effect.
It's not healthy, and it's not going anywhere. And, you know, if anything, it'll probably end up back at the stall. Where are you meeting him? Are you meeting him at a bar, or I hope it's a restaurant, like a public place? Because if it's a bar, you're not going to get anything resolved.
No, we're going to meet out at, like, a dinner, like, go out to dinner.
So, okay.
Yeah, no, he's definitely, I mean, hello, I don't hold back, so definitely he's going to get it.
You better not.
But also at the same time, I mean, I do care about him, you know, I do have love for him, you know, I can't deny that. And I do know that if we could get past all this, like, back and forth, you know, situation, I do know that our relationship could work. You know, like, when we're together, it's great. But these kind of, like, bumps in the road, like, I'm hoping that we can just kind of, like, get through it and everything will be fine. But, I mean, you know, at the same time, it is also kind of scary because, you know, you just, you know, you don't want to have to go through it again and all this other stuff. But sometimes you just have to, you know...
You need to like man up to this guy, and I'm gonna recommend a really good podcast that I've been listening to lately. It's called Lesbian Mafia.
Yeah, I've been telling him to man up. So it's funny that you're telling me. I've been telling him to man up.
I think you need to really, like, you know, give it to him once and for all and make him make a decision. Are you coming or going? Because he's like manipulating your love for him. He's manipulating your love and your feelings for him. And he every time he comes back, he's like, he's batting his eyelashes at you, and he's like, I'm sorry. And you're like,
no, but you know, he does that.
Come over here, get a little closer.
You know, the thing is that, you know, it's not, you know, I mean, I think definitely the last time, you know, it was kind of like a two-way street. Like, you know, he didn't call me back, and I was just like, I could have did the same thing what I did this time. It's like, you know, I could have called him and said, listen, it really upsets me when you don't call me back. But I didn't do that. I was like, fuck you, I'm not going to call you back, and whatever. So he didn't call me, I didn't call him, and that's how it was, you know? So
You need to get past that with him. You need to be like, you know, like, are we going to keep doing this over and over again?
Exactly.
For real?
Exactly. No, no, it
like,
can't.
Glenn used to do that to me over and over again.
No, it can't.
And he would dick me over like that over and over again. And, yeah, no, I wish I would have said those words to him. And I'm going to tell you to say those words to him when you see him on Friday. And
well,
if I don't hear you by the next podcast, say that you said those words to him.
No, it's going to...
You will
gonna
officially be written off, and your mic will be turned off.
No, it's going to go down. We shall see what happens. But he's definitely going to get it. You know, I mean, I don't hold back, and I don't, like, you know, it's not like, oh, like, but I love you. Like, it's not that type. Like, it's really the opposite. Like, you know, I give him a hard time all the time, so he knows that. But, you know, we just have to work out the kinks. So hopefully, you know, the third time's a charm. I don't know. I have no idea. but
no, there's no third charm. There's no third time the charm or anything like that. It's either you give it to me real, or you just keep walking, because there are other guys that are worthy of your love. Okay.
That's well, yeah, exactly.
And your time, and your time. He's just wasting your time.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. You have more.
He's wasting our. He's
like
wasting our podcast time here.
Calm down. Calm down, Cyclope. Like, oh my God.
Anyway, I think we're in need of a music break.
I think so too. Lord of mercy. Oh my God. Thank God he doesn't have a bunny rabbit or something. He might. You know, be boiling on the stove. You out of control.
Oh, get over it, bitch. You and your Glenn Close. You need a new line here, because you need to start watching a new Fatal Attraction movie, because that movie is getting old.
But anyway, needless to say, that was my week. It was very eventful, and it was very eventful for many of us with the hurricane and, you know, all the earthquake and all that stuff. And to any of our listeners, we hope that you survived it and, you know, didn't had very little damage done to your homes or to areas of where you live, and that you came out okay and was safe and all that good stuff. So what we're going to do now, we're going to give you some music to jam to, and then we'll be back and we'll bring on the next segment. So enjoy.
Welcome back. That was The Rapture, How Deep Is Your Love, Emperor Machine Remix edit. By the way, did you like the music podcast, the Best Of?
I did. Sure. You know, it really showed, you know, that we really have good taste in music. Not to toot our own horns, but yeah, no, it was really good.
Yeah, I keep playing it over and over again. I don't know if it was just because it was Cabin Fever on Sunday or whatever, but I think, you know, we did a great job selecting music, and once it was all put together, it was cool. All right, well, we're switching it up this week, and we're introducing new things. into the way that we do our podcast. So we don't have a tit for tat. And what we do have, though, is the main drag. And we want to bring, well, we want to talk about more about bisexuality. I think it's been culminating throughout all our podcasts, you know, this talk about bisexualism. And finally, we are doing a podcast about bisexuality. And I think it's perfect that you brought this up, Drew, because it's perfect timing, at least in my life. Now that I'm doing the Ren Fair, in the past also, I've come across many bisexuals at the Ren Fair, the Renaissance Fair here in New York, and both from people who work there and people who come to participate have hit on me, and they're there with their girlfriends. You know, they're oohing-aahing over my package, and because I'm in tights, and or my ass, and my pretty eyes, and and their job.
Oh my God! They're just like so full of yourself.
Fuck you.
The Henry Show. Like, let me just give myself all these compliments.
Hey, there was a time I couldn't give myself a compliment, so back off, bitch, because this is real, all right? I'm not trying to be conceited or vain here, but this is what they really,
Now he called me bitch, and you got all, tippy when I got,
Well, because I mean it, you bitch. I'm not, like, trying to greet you. I'm just trying to put you down. Get off of it. Step off. You can't touch me. Anyway.
That's so funny.
This guy that I've locked eyes with many times at the Renaissance Fair that works there. And actually two different things happened to me this year. One is that this guy, he Facebooks me, and he Facebooks La Chamaca also, and I'm doing La Chamaca. I'm actually doing female impersonation for the first time at the Renaissance Fair. And he used to be married. Everyone thinks of him as being straight, but I finally had a conversation with him on the side because I really wanted to get down, to the nitty gritty about, what his intentions and feelings are towards me, because he's been looking at me a little too hard, and now he's taking pictures of me. And I feel like there's more. So I had an interesting email messaging conversation with him. And to say the least, one, he's really cute, very attractive, very sensitive. He knows himself, and he speaks the way I do about my sexuality. He knows that his love is for a woman, but his genitals, his sexual energy, sometimes is open to a man, and, he can get a boner, off of looking at a good-looking man. And it sounds like he probably has some panism in there also, where he likes transgender folks. But we haven't really, gone across that. But anyway, what's even more interesting in my conversation with him online was that he was very open to the idea of being with a man, aside from the fact that he really would desire to give all his love to a woman. And now that he's not married, he's not closing his options, but he is looking for another female mate. And that was really interesting, to say the least. And I never thought I was going to have a conversation with him, but I knew there was some oddities there that I needed to come clear with. And
would
then,
I would consider dating him.
Oh my God. He's everything I think I would look for in a guy. I'm compatible with him because we're into the same geeky stuff. He's not an artist. He's more of a scientist. He works with his hands, craftsman. But I can get down with that. He's also, he loves photography. He's taller than I am. He's muscular, bigger build. He has that football player look. He has that Irish, dark features also. He's bald. He has a goatee. He has bedroom eyes. I haven't heard him speak yet, but he's very shy when you approach him and you look at him dead in the eyes. And it's like, if you look at him in the eyes, it's like you're, you know how they say the eyes are the windows to your soul?
Yeah.
So, you know, he knows that if he lets you stare into his eyes long enough, you're going to find out more than he wants you to know. So,
yeah.
He's an open book, you know? So that's,
well,
that's,
I mean,
really charming.
Okay.
And
well,
then
deserve,
there, you know,
I mean, of course, the thing is that, I mean, you definitely deserve to find, you know, the perfect, you know, person. The only thing is that, you know, of course, you know, if he's, you know, it also has to, if he's saying that, oh, you know, I really see myself giving all of my love to a woman, that's where I want to be, like, you know, can he really be in a committed relationship with a man?
Would be
the question.
My
sister is bisexual, and she is, you know, I mean, she, although she enjoys, you know, the company of men and that kind of stuff, but she definitely labels herself as a bisexual, and she can do, like, separately. Like, she doesn't mean, like, she's with a man, she has to be seeing a woman on side, and vice versa. Like, she's in that relationship, she's committed, you know, to 100%, and, you know, that kind of thing, you know, and there's always that misconception of, you know, about bisexuals is that, oh, they just want the cake and eat it too, they're always on the fence, they have to pick and choose,
yes,
and all this stuff, but, you know, it doesn't mean that just because someone is bisexual that they cannot be in a committed relationship. It's just a matter of, is that really what they want?
Well,
yeah.
that's, and I think that, you know, those bisexuals that get labeled or get, you know, that bad rap are actually not bisexuals. You know, the ones that can't commit to a relationship.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Or either one.
No, exactly. I mean, of course, there's a lot of people who are out there who are just like, oh, who are just curious, or who are just like, oh, you know, they went to college and
yeah,
they all of a sudden they're lesbians for a while they're in college, but then they're really straight, you know, or same thing, you know, they get drunk one night and next thing you know, they could, you know, get drunk with their frat buddy and the next thing you know, they have a little, you know, hot, steamy, you know, session in bed.
Yeah, like,
I mean,
like me, I'm not bisexual. I know that I can, you know, if I force myself and I got drunk, I, you know, could do it with a woman, but that doesn't make me bisexual. I mean, I'm not going to get in a relationship with somebody. If the shoes were on the opposite end, you know, they would be giving me a bad rap because I won't commit to them.
No, exactly. And so, you know, I found this study. There was a new study from researchers from Northwestern University, which is a very, you know, good school. And this study has shown that men identified as bisexual do, in fact, respond sexually to both men and women. And, you know, in the study, the men display clear physical signs of arousal when shown both male and female erotic material. And, you know,
yeah,
that's kind of funny because, I can watch something on, you know, I can watch Skinamax or something or cable, and of course it could be like soft porn, and then the guy is like, you know, having sex with a girl because they're all straight, you know, soft core porn or whatever. And I could, you know, if the guy is really hot, I could be really turned on, but that doesn't, I could be, but I'm focusing on the guy. I think, does that make me bisexual? No, of course not.
Yeah, like you're watching True Blood, and, you know, it's the straight couple of them fucking, and, but the guys
exactly.
So
you're
hot,
like,
you're like,
exactly. and the study also, the researchers relied on more stringent criteria for selecting participants to improve their chances of finding men aroused by women as well as by men. The researchers recruited subjects from online venues, specifically catering to bisexuals. They also required participants to have sexual experiences with at least two people of each sex and a romantic relationship of at least 3 months with one person of each sex. So, I mean, they really tried to, like, you know, find a really good group of people. And so they really, and they basically watched videos and they monitored their erectile responses. So it was, you know, I mean, it's kind of
It is interesting. The most interesting part, I think, is that they put, like, these cables onto the genitals.
Yes. So, I mean, you know, I mean, it's kind of, you know, I mean, of course, I mean, again, you know, I think, yes, I mean, I think it's like, duh, of course, bisexuality does exist, you know. But, I mean, again, I think it goes back to the other question where we were talking about. It's not about the, just take the sex out of the equation. What is, you know, are these people, can these people actually be in a full, really committed relationship with a man and that be that? And that's what the question is, because that to me labels that to me is what a full bisexual is. Not because I got aroused by watching a video by men. Because then to me, it goes back to the whole sex thing versus the relationship thing, you know?
Well, yeah, there, you know, the second thing that happened to me that I want to touch on in the Renaissance Fair this year, which kind of relates to what you're talking about, was this couple that are patrons there. They're, you know, patrons are usually people who are every year they come and they show the support and they dress up and they become kind of like part of the scenery and they make their rounds and to all the booths. And there's this family, a very beautiful, gorgeous family, father, wife, you know, father, mother, daughter, son, they come through every year, and it's every weekend they're there. And they're diehard Rennies. And the father is so attractive. I mean, the mother, she's beautiful, too, but he, to me, at least, has all those dark features, dark Italian features, which, and his ass is gorgeous in his tights, and he has one hell of a crotch. He loves to flirt with me. He loves to flirt with me in and out of drag, and now that I'm doing drag, he flirts with me even more. And I can't help but, you know, blush every time he comes by, because he knows that I'm attracted to him, and his wife knows it too. And man, sometimes I probably in the past I've rubbed one or two out with his image, but he's that hot. He is that hot. Anyway, yeah, it is TMI. I'm sorry, but anyway, he came, you know, was it this past weekend or the weekend before? I don't know when it was, but they came by for the second time during the day, and he just said something. He winked at me, and I was like, oh, my. And his wife said, oh, I know you love him. I'm willing to share him. And I said, really? She's like, yeah, we'll come by later, and I'll chop him off. And I was like, oh, shit. And she was dead serious. She was so serious. Yes, and she laughed it off. And, you know, he was willing. He wasn't shocked. He just looked at me and winked at me, like, you know, I'll see you later. And then...
Really?
Yeah, really. So there's also, you know, this other couple that are friends with the booth owner that I work for. And they're not really bisexual, I don't think, but they're very open to sexuality, to all sexualities. So they've been talking to me more and more about these nude beaches they go to and all these other gay guys they see there and how hung they are and all. And, you know, all these people I'm meeting, I even met, like, somebody who is into panism. He doesn't consider himself bisexual. He considers himself, you know, pansexual, which, you know, he's not limited to just a man and a woman, you know, female to male, male to female, transgenders. He likes them, you know, whatever floats his boat. And he said, if you didn't have enough mates, if you didn't have a lot of makeup on you, you know, I would do you or date you. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. But you have so, you know, you have so much on you. And I was like, okay. But, you know, there are people out there that are very open-minded and could actually, I think, be able to successfully share themselves like that between relationships. But the other thing is, you know, how are you going to do it? And, you know, that'll be a headache more on them than it would be on the receiver, like myself or yourself.
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, it's a difference when it becomes the whole couple thing. You know, that's when it becomes a little, you know, iffy. But, you know, I mean, I do think that I do know, like, you know, a lot of times, you know, I remember when I first came out and I met people who were bisexual and, you know, of course, you know, they always felt like, you know, the gay community always would give them a lot of slack because they felt like, you know, pick a side, you know, choose, and pretty much you have to, like, force to decide whether they want, like, guys or girls, or, you know, if there was vice versa, if it was a girl, they had to, you know, decide. You know, I mean, I do think that there are people out there who can be in committed relationships with, you know, they like both sexes, and they can't be in committed relationships, and they are truly bisexual.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it is this kind of, you know, I think it's, you know, really sad. You know, it's the same thing, you know, of course, as a gay man, you know, people are like, oh, you could be, you know, people think that it's a choice, or, you know, why don't you have sex with a woman, and you can, you know, it's like, but no, you know what you like. And I think it's insulting when people say those type of things, like, you know, oh, you have to choose or whatever. It's like, no, let them be. If people like what they like and they're very honest about it, and they're honest about, you know, who they like to their partners, and then they tell them, hey, I'm bisexual, you know.
And not all of them are, yeah, and a lot of them are just figuring themselves out. My friend, who you know also,
exactly.
He, when I came out, he came out like a year or so later, sort of, and he was still kind of experimenting, and I kind of, like, took him to all the gay bars and stuff, and he said he thought he was bisexual, and I was like, well, you know, but he really enjoys being with a guy. He'd never been with a guy, and I said, maybe, you know, you'll find out, you know, that you're really, like, men. Why don't you hang around with me, and let's go out, and, you know, we'll test the field. And then there was a lapse where there was years where I had not been with him, and we got recently reconnected through Facebook a couple of years ago, and he's been in a committed relationship with a guy for about 11 years, and I'm sure he sees, you know, women on the side. I haven't really asked him that part, but, and also I'm not going to name his name yet, in case he's listening. Which he probably is listening. He is, you know, he's a very private person, and, you know, he went about his, you know, figuring out, you know, where he belongs in the whole scheme of his, you know, this whole community of sexual beings. And we didn't do the Kinsey scale with him, so he just, you know, he went with his heart and what, you know, it dictated. And I guess, you know, the whole man thing really played into it. And, you know, that was something else I brought up to this guy that I first spoke about from the Ren Faire, that his heart belongs to a woman. He never heard of the Kinsey scale or the Kinsey report, and I sent it to him, and he was kind of a little thrown off. He said, you know, why do I need this to tell me what I know, what's in my head? And practically he was saying what was in his heart, you know, that I don't need this report. I don't need the scientific, you know, proof, because I know that when I was growing up, I really didn't want to be like the jocks, and I rebelled against any type of social conformities that are out there. And I know that, you know, above all that, that I've, you know, all that, I guess, machoistic things that he negated from his culture growing up, he knew that being the soft-spoken person he is, he really wanted to be, he desired to be with a woman more than a man. So this report that they did in Northwestern also, you know, went to say that gays, well, most bisexuals who say they're bisexuals aren't really bisexuals. They're really heterosexuals. And, or closet cases. And that was the other thing they said. They're closet cases. Like, many of those politicians that are out there. This one guy who has been in the media forever, like, they're dragging him in the mud right now. Phil Hinkle over in Indiana, he paid, well, he responded to some ad in Craigslist that, for Sugar Daddy, this 18-year-old, and he went back and forth texting with him until his sister, the 18-year-old sister, took his, you know, the phone and text messages and went to authorities and turned him in. The Sugar Daddy, Phil Hinkle, was, it has been known to fight against, to vote against laws, for gay marriage and for anything that was pro, you know, gay equality or whatever. So, you know, that's another example among very many others, you know, of other politicians that have been dragged into the spotlight that have been anti-gay, and they're really, you know, in the background, they have escorts and they have people sucking them off and they like dick and, you know, they really can't find a way to be with a guy.
No, exactly. And I think that, you know, I mean,
or be themselves.
Friends, yeah, exactly. And I think one of my friends, you know, was, you know, at one time, you know, I think he's now more gay, but I think because of, you know, the way he was raised and that kind of stuff, not really, you know, he had experiences and urges, but he saw himself as bisexual, and of course, I was like, you ain't bi. But, you know, of course, I was supportive. But I think that, you know, over time, I think that he realized that, yes, he is gay, you know, and of course, you know, he's not really out to his parents or that kind of thing, because, I mean, of course, I mean, coming out is a long time, or to many of his family members, but he is, you know, I mean, I think that he, although he might have attractions to women, I think that, you know, I have to ask him, I'm like, well, now, like, where are you in terms of, like, are you leaning more towards men, or are you leaning more towards women, or are you both, or, you know, and he was like, I'm leaning more towards men, and so I was like, okay. But I think it's, you know, I think, you know, some people are the kind of, you know, who've never experienced it or haven't had, like, a relationship with a man, and they're still kind of, because, I mean, even for me, like, when I first came out, like, I didn't want to say I was gay right away because of the connotation at the time. It was kind of like, oh, what you was, you know, supposed to be if you were gay. So I was like, oh, I'm goodbye. But I knew I wasn't bi. I knew what I liked.
I remember that. You and Raffi.
Yeah, exactly. And that was total front, you know. But, you know, but at the same time, there was, you know, there was, you know, because you didn't, it was that kind of like that fear of the unknown, that fear of like, okay, what is it going to be like? And am I going to be, you know, is it what people are, you know, all this kind of like negative images that you see and on people talking about what it was to be gay and all this stuff. And I was like, well, I don't see myself as that. And I don't want any part of it in that, but I know that I have these urges, and I know that I want to explore what it would be like to be with a man. So it wasn't until I became more comfortable with the fact that, like, okay, this is what I want, and know that this is where, and stop lying to myself, then I was like, oh, okay, you know, I'm gay, you know. But I do think that, you know, there are people who are out there who are kind of, you know, they're fearful of being labeled and, you know, all like the stereotypes that come with being gay and, you know, and feeling like they're going to lose family or friends and, you know, rejection and all that stuff. So people can kind of, you know, still kind of play both sides a little bit. But again, I do think that there are true bisexuals out there who can do both and who have who can be in a relationship with a woman, you know, in a committed relationship, and they could break up, and then she could be with a man, and vice versa, you know. So, I mean, it all depends. But I think that, you know, I think bisexuality definitely does exist, and, you know, more power to you.
Yeah, it was really interesting that when this report came out, or actually got revised because there was a second, you know, there was a study done by them before in 2005. MSNBC, you know, published some article, which I'll post on our show notes, regarding that, that report by Northwestern. And the title of their article was, "No Surprise for Bisexual Men, They Really Exist. For some, attraction often not limited to one sex contradicts prior research." So, you know, it's even people at MSNBC, who is very conservative out there, I find them to be a very conservative corporation.
What?
Had gall to publish this. I'm sorry?
They're pretty liberal.
Well, why do you think that?
Their news is pretty liberal.
I never found their news to be that liberal. I guess, well, I don't have cable anymore, but in the past...
They have, Rachel Maddow's on MSNBC, and she's a, you know, out lesbian.
Oh, that's right.
Keith Olbermann, who, you know, was on MSNBC, he was very, he was definitely a gay ally. Like, he would always, you know, talk about, you know, like, really talk passionately about gay rights and how we should be doing it, and we need to support gay marriage, and saying all these things. Like, he was definitely an ally. So, I mean, to me, it always seems very liberal. It's not conservative like Fox News.
I think, you know, the end of this report, and then we'll have to wrap it up, by Northwestern University says that a study did not examine bisexuality among women, though this is a subject that has been explored by previous studies. A study released in 2008, for instance, said that empirical data suggests bisexuality among women is a fixed sexuality that is not just a transitional stage between heterosexuality and homosexuality, as had been theorized in the past based on anecdotal evidence. So, you know, I think that's the same with, yeah, I think the same is to be said about men. So, and I believe that's what the study came across saying, though they didn't really say that it was a fixed sexuality. I think we're all, you know, capable, as I said in the past, and I know from growing up with my native beliefs, that, you know, women are even more, are fluid, are, you know, they're like the essence of water. So bisexuality or the ability to be sexual with either man or woman or a transgender is something that they can be easily lend themselves over to and open to express themselves in that way. But I think there's men out there like this guy from the Renaissance Fair that I first spoke about, and he has some really good words of wisdom. You know, why do I need a report to tell me who I am and what I know?
Yeah.
But sometimes,
so what are you so what are you gonna do? Are you gonna you've been exchanging emails and stuff. Are you going to take it further? Like, are you gonna just debate? Are you going to?
I'm gonna let him lead the stance because.
Do you need to be La Chamaca, or do you need to be the La Chamaca need to be there, or does Henry need to be there, or a little bit of both? Like, what's gonna happen?
I don't know. I think he's intrigued by both, and I think that he spoke highly about La Chamaca and how I come across doing the Lady of the Beer and how well I do it. But I don't think he's so much interested in her as he's really interested in me. And I think that's going to be interesting, you know, come now that we're in the middle of the season for the Renaissance Fair, so we shall see. I'll keep you guys in tune.
Obviously, you're not going to have to, I mean, he's still, you know, I mean, the fact that he, you know, did, you know, had that conversation over email, you know, says a lot. So that would probably be a huge step for him. So I think, you should definitely, you know, get his phone number, maybe, like, go, like, you know, maybe you guys can talk over the phone and then kind of let it progress into maybe a date, you know.
I don't know. I'm going to let him lead the dance, like I said, just because I've been in this role with bisexuals. My first bisexual that I came across was in high school, and this was somebody you don't know, and I had such a crush on this guy, and this was before this is like a couple of months after it came out, and even prior to me coming out, he was in the same, we would come into school at the same time, and we would go up the staircases, the escalators, to our homeroom period classes at the same time, and he would turn around, he would be further up from me, and he would turn around just to look at me. And he made me so self-conscious that I would look at him. And I finally tracked down his locker, and I wrote him a huge letter and told him how much I was intrigued by him and, you know, and attracted to him. And I think it was probably 2 pages worth of words. And you know that after that same day he came to me, he was like, why did you write this? You know, why did you put it in my locker? Yeah, he was really like defensive, and it was like I exposed him, and he interrogated me. I forgot everything he said, but he, you know, those were some of the words that he used. And why? And I said, well, I figured you were feeling the same thing I was, since you kept on turning around and looking at me and staring at me. What did you mean by that? And at one point, I think weeks after that, he wrote a letter to me. He told me that, you know, he found me interesting. And it was almost the same type of conversation I'm having with this guy from the Renaissance Fair. So okay. With bisexuals, you have to be really...
I mean, you have to tread lightly, but maybe. But, like, you know, I mean, of course you're not going to be like, can we come over to my house and fuck? You know, I mean, of course you're not going to be that forceful. But I do think that you can initiate the conversation. I mean, for him to, you know, talk to you over email and to confess these things to you, obviously he felt comfortable. So, I mean, if you were to send him an email and say, hey, you know, blah, 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 you know, if you ever wanted to talk, well, you know, here's my number, give me a call, and see what happens. If you have a call, you know, that's harmless.
Well, we shall see. I've taken your advice in the past, and I have to say some of it has worked, so I'll think about that.
Exactly. So, we got to keep our, at least do it for the podcast. It's at least as good as it is. A good discussion, you know.
So you're pimping me now, huh? You're pimping me, huh?
Hey, I'm jobless. I need to make some money. any way I can, folks. Any way I can. So, anyway
Miss Jackson Brown, let's close this up. We're going to leave you off with some music. And anybody who's a bisexual out there and that's listening to us or have their own stories, we would love to hear from you. You know, give us a call or, you know, send us an email, and we'll love to, you know, even call you and maybe even interview you or we would love the feedback, period. Just just use the contact info on our blog. And we're also going to put these articles as links in our show notes for you and your friends and whatever. So enjoy the music break, and we'll see you afterwards. I gave you all you
Welcome back. That was Cocoon, the XXXY remix by The Alpines. Hope you enjoyed it. Good little track. And so now we are going to go into our next segment. And it's a segment that, you know, we haven't been too good with lately. But now we have something to throw back into the closet. So now we're going to go back into... Now we're going to go to our segment called Back into the Closet, and this is where Henry and I throw things. It could be a person, place, or thing, or saying, or whatever we find that's within our gay community that we feel like needs to be thrown into the closet, and we need to throw it in and lock the door and throw away the key. So, this week, We were talking a lot about the hurricane, and, you know, because of the hurricane, of course, I was homebound, and I could not leave, and was forced to watch TV. And as I flipped through, you know, my cable channels, I came across... So what I want to throw into the closet is the Logo Channel, because during the hurricane, you know, of course, it's like the Logo Channel, for those of you who don't know or might not have it, the Logo Channel is a gay network. It's responsible for shows like The A-List, New York, and RuPaul's Drag Race, and Drag U, and all that stuff. And so, anyway, so during the hurricane, now, of course, mind you, you know, I needed something to watch, because, you know, it's full day, and I'm tired of watching, you know, crazy, you know, news coverage about the hurricane. But they had a marathon of 16 and Pregnant on the Logo Channel. And I was like, what? A marathon. I was like, why is the Logo Channel, which is a gay channel, showing a show about kids who are 16 and pregnant with their boyfriend? Doesn't make any sense. And it was a marathon. I was like, are you shitting me? So I just picked up the Logo Channel and just get it together. And they need to go back to the closet and figure out, like, who's their audience.
I agree.
You know, it's like, and, I mean, besides the fact that I also had to watch, you know, I did, you know, watch a really bad gay movie and that they played on Logo, but, that's a whole nother story. It was, oh, God, it was Eating Out Drama Camp.
What?
And I don't know if you've watched any of these movies, but they are just...
No, but...
They're the second best movie. They keep making them. They're like the gay equivalent to, like, American Pie, and they just keep on making these films, and I'm like, when would they stop? but it was really painful, and, you know, it was just, like, really painful to watch. It was really, you know, some parts were, like, kind of, okay, like, I was like, oh, you know, I had, like, a, you know, transgender character, and it was, like, that, you know, but it was just, like, really stupid, and, like, I sometimes, you know, especially when a hurricane is a coming, you know, or you're in the midst of a hurricane, you know, you want to laugh and, you know, kind of take your mind off of it. And I'm all good for slapstick comedy and stupid humor, but it was just really bad. It was just really, really bad. And, of course, there was, like, nudity, but you can't really get excited because of nudity because it's, you know, cable, so you can't watch any, you know, they don't show all the good. So... That was the one good thing that you could be excited about, you can't really experience because it's on, you know, basic cable.
My God. I mean, they have the rights to, like, all these other good movies that they could have done, or they could have done, like, a whole, like, you know, RuPaul Season 3 marathon or all the seasons.
Yeah,
but they
exactly. I mean, yeah, no, exactly. And that was my point. I was like, you know, there's so many other gay movies that they could have played, you know, or they could have done other, you know, I know, or they have, you know, they have their own shows of the A-list and that kind of stuff, but they, you know, they could have done other stuff, but they were showing 16
to 17. Somebody must have paid them a lot of money to do that.
And it's like, it's stupid. It's like, you know, we finally have our own channel, and you're going to show, I understand that they're owned by Viacom, and they own, which owns MTV and, you know, VH1 and all those other, you know, shows, stations, you know, but, you know, some content doesn't, really, it doesn't work. Like, you know, I mean, sometimes they'll show, like, RuPaul's Drag Race on VH1. Well, that's cool because, you know, that's fine. But on a gay channel that is geared towards gay people and you're going to have 16 and pregnant, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Like, you know, it's like we only have one channel out of all the channels on cable and you're going to... You know, you're going to put heterosexual content on it, and it's like, and it's not, you know, like, it's not even, like, I could see if it was, like, maybe, like, The Real World, and it was, like, a gay cast member, so even though there was other heterosexuals, but there is a gay cast member, so that can get, that I can understand, but the fact that it's, you know, 16 and pregnant, that doesn't imply, that I can't relate to that.
Well, I'm sure it relates. I'm sure there's a lot of bisexuals who relate to it.
Oh, whatever. I mean, I don't care. You know, when I'm bedridden, you know, because I have to stay in my bed and I'm forced to watch TV because of a freaking hurricane and I'm flipping to the channels, you know, I want to be able to see some good shows, you know, and if you're going to show me some stupid heterosexual kids, you know, doing stupid things, I don't care.
So this is my question too. So now that you threw them into the closet, does that mean that you're not going to be watching them for a while?
Logo? I mean, no, I mean, I do think that they do. I mean, I do understand that, you know, they have to. No, I mean, of course I'm going to watch it because, I don't really like the A-list, the show. I think the show is really kind of, you know, it is kind of painful. But, I mean, I watch it because it's painful.
It's a train wreck, as you said in one of your posts.
It's a train wreck. Exactly. But, you know, and also one of my friends who actually is a, you know, he is a blogger and he's like a photographer or whatever. He actually was in the last episode. He didn't say anything, but he was in the last episode. And I actually sent him a text and I said, you know, is it staged? And he said, that, you know, the cast members, you know, pretty much come up with their own storylines, and then everyone else kind of feeds into it. So I get that.
Oh, God.
And then that
he was they're horrible that, storytellers.
They're horrible storylines. And he did say that, you know, that everybody on the show does hate this one guy. You know, I don't know if you've been watching it or if you've been, you know, seen it.
Yes, Austin. Everybody hates Austin.
But everyone does hate him in real life. So that's. But I mean, he is pretty annoying. So
he is, and he totally, you know, wants to be, you know, bitch slapped by everybody. Like he gets into it or something.
Yeah. And the one thing that I don't, you know, I don't understand is that, you know, of course it's like the A-list New York, but I don't really feel like they're real New Yorkers. It's like Austin didn't even live in New York.
No.
You know?
They're not from New York,
you know,
at all.
He's from the West Coast, and, you know, I don't understand, like, they're not real New Yorkers, so why are you having them, and, you know, you couldn't find other New Yorkers, or probably the real New Yorkers, or people with sense that were like, hell no, I'm not doing this show, so, you know.
Exactly.
and,
would
you,
you
know,
do it?
No, I would not do it. And then, you know, this poor guy who, I mean, even though he's hot, but the Brazilian guy, like, he is the words. Like, every time he speaks, I want to, it's like nails on a chalkboard. It's like, can you just shut up and not talk?
I think it's
like,
I think it's adorable.
You think it's adorable? He sounds like a, oh my god, like, I'm not going to even say what he sounds like, because I'll get into a lot of trouble. I don't want to have any hate mail, and I don't want to have any hate mail or anything like that, but he sounds really bad. Like, it's, and I know, and sometimes,
well,
like,
it's not so much,
how could you, like, if I went to take the show, I would be laughing constantly, because I could not be able to talk to him without busting out laughing, because I would be like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, really? And I have to talk to you? Like, I would not be able to contain myself, because I would, it would be really painful.
Well,
he's bisexual. And he, like, it's so funny that he's, like, he went on a date with a girl, and he's like,
whatever, he's bisexual, but he can't get over his boyfriend. He's always on his boyfriend's dick, and he's always going back to his boyfriend.
It's really painful.
What's his boyfriend's name? That spoiled bitch, Brad. Anyway, yes.
Rodney was dating Riken,
yes.
Yeah. So anyway.
And Riken was
all,
anyway. I think somebody out there recently, you know, one of my recent posts, which was Drag U's last episode for the season with Linda Carter in it, they commented that they will not watch local TV anymore because they're producing horrible shows, and they thought that Raven out of season two, RuPaul's Drag Race, was the worst, and they couldn't believe that they let her get away with so much animosity and negativity on that show. And, you know, I didn't find it very negative. Like, if anything, I didn't find Raven to be negative, but I did find Tyra, Miss Tyra Sanchez, to be very negative. And in season three, and of course you know this, Drew, and a lot of you guys who are listening to us probably know this also, Shangela was like a crazy bitch, like from the ghetto. Like,
yeah.
Just starting shit everywhere she was going.
I do think that, like, you know, RuPaul Drag Race, you know, has really put Logo on the map, you know? You know, it kind of got a lot of buzz, and it does really well. But I mean, as far as the other shows, I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, we're gay. We're, you know, why hasn't there been, like, a, you know, I'm a gay type, like, a American Idol type show, or like support gay artists or something, you know? You know, something kind of, or like fashion, or, you know, something else. Like, why don't they have their version of Project Runway? You know, it's like, there's so many other shows that they could do. You know, everybody, every channel, you know, Bravo has, you know, so many different shows. Everybody does, you know, all these singing competitions and fashion shows and all these other, like, why hasn't Logo kind of jumped on board? You know, I mean,
yeah, totally.
Kind of produce a little bit more interesting content, you know, because I know,
like, Glee.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, reality show, like, reality TV obviously makes, you know, brings, you know, big money and big audiences, you know, to TV. People love seeing people fight and act crazy and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's, unfortunately, that's the society that we live in. But whatever. But, you know, I would think that, you know, we finally have a gay channel, and, you know, sometimes they do play some good stuff, and, you know, but they could be doing a lot more with the station. I don't know if it's because of money, that they don't have big budgets or whatever, but, I mean, reality TV shows don't cost that much to make. So I would think that, you know, and there's a lot of big gay producers out there that could, you know, that they could come on board and get them. So anyway, I want to throw the logo channel into the closet, because 16 and Pregnant Marathon is not acceptable at all. So
Well, my item to throw back into the closet is lesbians who hate on gays. They really don't belong out of the closet. Totally. I mean, and there's lesbians out there that secretly hating gays, and they don't, like, come out because it's not politically correct to do that. And I've had my share. I've just had my share. I, you know, I've been listening to Lesbian Mafia, the podcast, because because I had, because it's part, you know, when you're on Stitcher.com and you're listening to our podcast, it gives you, like, a listing of shows that other people who are subscribing to our podcast listen to. And one of the podcasts that a lot of them listen to is Lesbian Mafia. So I guess we have a good deal of lesbians who listen to us or something. Lesbian Mafia, the podcast, is funny. I think she's hilarious. She's like, Michelle is like the, I think her name is Michelle, or Sandy. Anyway, she's this Italian lesbian who had a big mouth and a big personality, and she's always talking nastily about the gay guys and just men in general. And she's like, you know, coming across as this cunt who just hates on gays. And
ooh,
I have...
You need to see your next Tuesday word.
I did. I did use it.
Oh, Now we're really going to get hate mail. Oh, Lord. I'm not going to be able to walk on the street. Like, they're going to get lynchings. They're going to attack us. Like, oh, God, I can't.
Well, I've listened to the podcast, at least three of their podcasts, and on all of them, it doesn't go by without any, like, love for gay guys. And she believes that there's no room in the gay community for gay men. And she's just, like, hating on us. And I'm like, oh, really? Well, I'm listening to you. And I just keep listening to her because, one, she is funny. The other, because I really want to hear exactly what the rest of her podcast is like. Is this a thing that she does just to get, like, you know, ratings? Or is this really her personality? Is this really her? So far, you know, she's made me think about all the lesbians who hated me when I was growing up and coming out. Like, I've gotten challenged by them. Left and right. When I was, you know, as I said in the previous podcast, I had this androgynous quality to me that some of them didn't know whether or not I was a female to male transgender when I would come down walking the street and they're like cruising me. And then when they see that I'm a guy and they're like really hating on me and they're like, you know, we hate you, you're on my block and you should get off of my block. Like, seriously, I've gotten into confrontations with them. Yeah. And then when I go to lesbian parties, and I'm, like, you know, hitting it off with the girls, their girlfriends will come along, and they just, like, interrupt the conversation and drag their girlfriends away because they're fearing that I'm going to steal their girlfriends away from them because they, I guess, they have that bisexuality from.
I do think that there is that kind of, you know, I have my own issues with, you know, some lesbians, you know, but that's what we could do. Maybe we could do a whole number. We could do a whole podcast on lesbians. I do think that, you know, within the gay community, there is a lot of, you know, sexism, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of times when, you know, gay men, you know, gay clubs win. I go to, you know, certain bars where my friends would be forced to leave if they were a girl, because after a certain time, they will not allow girls there, you know?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So, and there is that kind of thing of like, oh, get out of here, you know, like there was always this kind of like thing. So I think, you know, sometimes I think there's always been this kind of, you know, not animosity, but this like little rivalry between lesbian and gay men. But I think, you know, I mean, I think it's, for some, it's not all, but I think maybe a small group of lesbians, form a group of gays, just don't get along.
Well,
so,
no, well, I hope it is a small number, and there are gays out there who don't like lesbians either. Anyway.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I do think it's kind of, you know, unfortunate that she's hating on us.
Well, I'm throwing all those hating lesbian bitches into the closet until they learn some manners.
Nah, you gotta
peace
be,
and harmony.
Okay, well, be careful, because now you're gonna have lesbians coming after us, and now I don't know.
Well, okay, in case we do get some.
Let me know. Let the record show that it was Henry, not Drew. Henry. I don't want no.
Well, you know,
beating me up on the street because you know, no. So.
Well, I have to say that, you know, I for the most part, I would love to, you know, include the lesbians as much as possible on our podcast. But, you know, they haven't really been representing, giving us feedback. It's been mostly the men, so this is going to be a men's podcast. And I love my lesbians, but when they hate me, I'm sorry, but I'm going to fight back. And I scratch my ass out. I make more lesbian friends than gay friends, I have to say, for all, you know, the talk that I'm doing about the hating lesbians. But, you know, sometimes I think I'm a lesbian trapped inside a gay man's body.
Okay,
Podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. I mean, lesbians do have their issues. And, you know, I mean, it's funny because, I don't know. I think maybe we'll talk about tit for tat about our issues with lesbians on the next one.
Okay. All right, so let's.
I think it's definitely an interesting topic about, so maybe for tit for tat for next one, we'll give our side of the lesbian versus gay issue.
Okay. Well, let's get out of here. I'm throwing him in there and locking up the key, and I have no shame. No shame.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up, and so we hope that you have missed us as much as we've missed you, and as you can see, you know, lots of things going on, and but we are back, and so with original content, and again, we really want you guys to reach out to us in any way, and there are many ways that you can. The first way, you can send us an email. You can email us at oralfixpodcast@gmail.com, or of course you can feel free to visit us on our blog, and you can listen to our podcast and also listen, you know, read, review some of the things that, you know, we post on a daily basis at oralfixpodcast.blogspot.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/theoralfixpodcast. You can also find us on Twitter at oralfixpodcast. And where else are we? Oh, and also you can find us, like we said in the beginning of the show, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, Stitcher.com. And when you go on iTunes, please rate us, so this way we'll move up in the rankings, and continue to download us on Stitcher.com. Henry showed me the numbers, and the numbers are really impressive, so it's really great to see that, you know, we have a great audience. Mm-hmm. And continue to visit us at the Black Spot, where, you know, we're only, you know, we've been doing this for a very short period of time. It's been 2.5 months now. And we, you know, we're past the 10,000 mark on our blog. And so thank you for everyone goes to, you know, visit our blog and, you know, and supports us. But we want to hear from you as much as possible. So please drop us a line and let us know.
Yeah, and those of you guys who are thriving on, which I'm seeing lately, our most popular posts as of today is Carmen Carrera's naked picture that Andy took, and everybody keeps going to her and looking at the picture. You guys are really loving the Thundercats episodes, the new Thundercats episodes that I've been posting. And I'm going to keep trying to, as long as I find them for free online, I'm going to keep trying to put them on there. But, you know, as much as you guys are, you know, feeding off of our posts and loving our posts, you should also take some time and give some even feedback on that. Or, you know, click the little likes and emoticon buttons that are on there so that that even helps us to get more and more searchable ratings on search engines. So if you could do that, that would be great. You'll be really helping us if you can't donate money either. I mean, we will appreciate money, too, so we can buy some better equipment. We do have a Google donation button thing there. But, you know, and we've been updating the Amazon widget, too. So if you buy through that that Amazon widget, some of the we do get a portion of the money that you spend on the items on there. And I just want to throw this out there to anybody who's listening. I'm in search of for Lieutenant Uhura, the old generation Star Trek communications earplug for her ear, because La Chamaca is going to be doing something with that soon. And the prices on those things online are really expensive. So I'm putting out feelers out there for who and anybody who may have one who I can rent it from you or knows of where I could buy one for a cheaper price that is, you know, maybe about $50. I mean, everything that's online is like $99 and above, and I think that's atrocious. So if anybody has one or knows where I could get one for a reasonable price, please email me at theoralfixpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you. And thank you again for the 10,000 views.
Okay. All right. So, as always, we want to, you know, close out the show with some music. So, again, and we hope you enjoyed this podcast and have a great rest of the week. And we will, until next time we meet. So, closing out the show is M83 with Steve McQueen. So enjoy, and till next time.